This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Courtney Donahoe. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
I kind of like to be the president.
Oh, yeah.
So I can show you how your money is spent.
Why can't we be friends?
All right, why can't they all just be friends in Washington, D.C.? Well, because they're politicians. All right, we've got Dennis Kelleher. He is the president and chief executive at Better Markets. Dennis, good to have you with us here on Bloomberg.
How are you, Pam?
I'm good. So tell me about Wall Street executives. I was reading an op-ed piece today penned by Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs. He's the chief executive in the Wall Street Journal. And I then spoke with Al Hunt, our Washington editor, about it. And he said, it's great to write editorials, but you've got to actually do something. Is it possible that Wall Street will put its lobbying efforts behind an effort by the president and Congress to solve our fiscal woes?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the smartest things anybody in Washington could do is listen to Al Hunt. And he's exactly right.
You made his day.
Well, you know, he's exactly right. It's not just Wall Street. It's, you know, the American business community and the leadership of the American business community used to play a really important constructive role in our political system as, you know, really business statesmen and stateswomen over time. And that role has simply vanished over the last 10 plus years, where the extremes have pulled in both directions, but primarily with ideologues digging in and viewing compromise, even compromise for the sake of the country and the economy, to be a treacherous activity that should be punished at the polls. So the thought that not just Wall Street, but the Wall Street CEOs are important, but all of business leadership. Let's remember, Wall Street is not Main Street, and it's not Main Street business. You know, we had the CEO of Aetna, Xerox, Honeywell, Walmart, Dow, Procter & Gamble, and others at the White House today, and they all need to back up their words with real concrete action.
What kind of action should they be taking?
Well, first and most importantly, they need to be agreeing that, you know, and keeping in mind we're at the very beginning of the negotiations. So, you know, people are going to stake out positions now. People are not going to, you know, drop their cards on the table at this point.
You stake out an extreme position because then you negotiate.
Well, I wouldn't say extreme. I think even the position you stake out, knowing you're going to negotiate from it, should be a responsible position.
Mm-hmm.
But what the role of the business leaders really are, in my judgment, twofold. To let elected officials know that they are serious about being engaged and supporting responsible policymakers who compromise. And not just supporting them now with their words, but making sure they don't then turn around and unload on them in the next election. And one of the reasons so many politicians end up being rigid is because while people say they support them doing one thing or another, when it comes around to election time, they then get opponents get funded who run against them for being responsible.
All right. Well, I want to bring up this whole funding issue because I want to get your thoughts on it. In 2008, when President, then not President, and Senator Obama ran against John McCain, eight of the top 10 donors to the Obama campaign were from Wall Street. 2012, we fast forward 4 years, eight of the top 10 contributions from Wall Street, they went to Mitt Romney.
Right.
No one offered the same amount of money to the president's campaign.
Right.
What does that say about the future of Wall Street influence? Because there are a lot of issues that are facing banks as well as brokerage firms and the financial industry in Washington.
Well, my first comment, Pim, would be that it's grossly irresponsible for an industry to essentially try and pick the next president of the United States based on, you know, truthfully, an incredibly parochial issue, no matter how important, and that's financial reform. On the other hand, it's also not unreasonable, given that Governor Romney was
Oh, I'm afraid we must have lost Dennis Kelleher. He's the president and chief executive of Better Markets. Dennis, do we have you back there?
I can hear you.
All right. Well done. Go ahead. I beg your pardon.
Sorry. No, that's okay. It's also not unreasonable to expect that Governor Romney, who was from the financial industry, wouldn't get a lot of support. But let's face it, Wall Street put every effort up and down the line to try and defeat the president and defeat anybody, actually, who was supporting financial reform. They also put all their chips on Scott Brown in Massachusetts to beat Elizabeth Warren.
Does that make common sense in business?
No.
I mean, it seems strange, right?
It's like going to Vegas and taking all your savings, your retirement savings, the kids' college, and everything else, and putting it on a spin of the wheel. It's irresponsible, and frankly, it's not what business leaders used to do in this country, and it's not what anybody who should be called a leader does do in this country. So what we need is to get the responsible business leaders back into the public debate and their public role that they used to have by having a moderating influence on the extremes. And what Wall Street ought to do, and in fact, I even the question is, all right, the election's over. Wall Street lost, and it lost big. So to my way of thinking, and I even commented on this recently, that the question is are there going to be any statesmen ever arising from Wall Street again?
Or if you got the chance to sit down with Jamie Dimon, chief executive of J.P. Morgan Chase, what would you say to him?
I would say get the actions of J.P. Morgan lined up with your words. Jamie Dimon talks a good story about financial reform and being responsible, but his lawyers and lobbyists work day and night, and his money works day and night to kill financial reform because they're trying to protect the privileged status of the too-big-to-fail banks so they can keep the taxpayer backing and they can keep the benefits they get from that. Now, if Jamie Dimon was serious about what he actually said and he put his actions behind his words truthfully, then what he would do is he would talk to people who are in the financial reform arena to figure out how do we actually put in place financial reform that protects American taxpayers and still allows American business, including Wall Street business, to thrive. Pim, one of the things, if I could just take a second, that people forget is after the Great Depression, for about 70 years, this country had the heaviest regulation of Wall Street in the history of the world. And during those 70 years, we had an economy that thrived. We had we built the broadest based middle class in the history of the world. And American business ruled the world, including Wall Street. And all of that happened under heavy regulation.
If you can apply that in a practical sense, because many people, of course, may feel that they voted and they selected a president or they voted for Governor Mitt Romney and they've done their duty for 4 years. Do you think that this means that the electorate needs to do more and perhaps prod their elected officials as well as business executives, either with emails or letters or telephone calls in order to advance, as you say, some solution?
Well, they do, and the good news is that they have started that already. The president in his press conference today has done that, but also the business people who came out of the White House today have been talking. They've also been doing op-eds. They've been talking at other groups. So I think you're going to see an increasing level of public discourse, and you're also right, Pim, that it has to be done. That's the premise of your question, because if the American people are not engaged, then too much gets done that they wouldn't agree with. And the president, you know, is right about whether, you know, you voted for him or not. He is right about one thing, which is it was thoroughly discussed in this campaign as to whether or not rates should go up on the richest 2% of people in this country. And you can agree or disagree. Anybody can agree or disagree with the wisdom of that. But the candidate who argued for that the most got elected president. And he's in the White House now. And he has a defensible claim to be saying, I ran on this. People voted for me on this. And this is something we need to do. And
does that emphasize that there is a lack of cynicism and that much of the media may have gotten it wrong when they describe the American public as refusing to vote for anybody that says, I'm going to raise your taxes?
Well, you know, people would say, well, you know, that's an example of people not saying, I'm going to raise your taxes, to say, I'm going to raise somebody else's taxes.
Indeed.
But what the president did say, in fairness, and he's still saying, is that this has to be a balanced compromise. You're not going to get a deal where it's all spending cuts or it's all revenue raises or the 2% in the country carry everything. That's not going to happen. But importantly, that's also not what's being discussed. The question is, where in the middle can people meet? What is the percentage or the division between spending cuts and raising revenues? And then importantly, what's the composition? You need a balanced agreement where basically everybody gives some and everybody gets hurt a little bit and nobody's completely happy, but it's in the best interest of the country. And that's what people have to focus on. And that's what the business leaders, if they assume the role they historically have had, the responsible business leaders in this country can really make a difference by pushing that and supporting policymakers who actually make those compromises.
I want to thank you very much for illuminating this topic and the debate. Dennis Kelleher, he's the president and chief executive of Better Markets.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2012, Bloomberg LP.